If life were predictable, it would cease to be life and be without flavour. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Same Old Wombles. Same Old Wombles is brought to you by some of us responsible for bringing you Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're non-affiliated and non-partisan. We're the Same Old Wombles. And if we were a US cable show, at episode 12, we'd be up for renewal already. My name is Mark Lewis, lifelong Wimbledon fan, drink too much tea, eat too many wine gums. Tonight's panel, joining me tonight are Niall Cooper and Adam Proctor, one current Don't Trust board member and one wannabe Don't Trust board member. Tonight we'll be discussing the Weymouth Woe, preview of tomorrow night's game against Orient, little review of the candidates standing for the Don't Trust board, and a slight twist to our end of pod game. We're going to have a little football league quiz, which even Adam will have some opportunities to get some correct answers in. Welcome to Same Old Wombles, episode 12.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you?
Don't you just love Mark with his like random thing at the end? We're all fair. You realise this. Everybody who listens, a regular listener to this show, will be going, not realising the immense dread that we all have about what random thing Mark's going to throw in at the end. But there you go. And I do love your intros. I think your intros are great. I'm always trying to guess what it is and what you're going to come out with. And it is impossible not to drink too much tea. Though I do try and stop drinking caffeine after 5 o'clock. But between the hours of when I wake up, which is stupidly early, until five, I will consume vast quantities of tea, and I think it is probably God's
own. Just because Matt's not here, then where does that first opening quote come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Which famous figure in history?
Oh, are you assuming that Matt would always know this?
Well, no, Matt's the always one that always says it's good, so you know.
Well, it is good. I have no idea, Mark.
No, I don't know either, but it would sounded cool.
Well, it's Google random stuff you can Google. Eleanor Roosevelt, apparently. Quotes about optimism. You have to find quotes about optimism when you're an FC Wimbledon fan, because let's face it, there's no real reason to be particularly optimistic. Is anyone surprised that we didn't actually hold on to a 1-0 lead at Weymouth?
You see, I used to say, right, that we need two goals to be secure, and that's gone. So I'm wondering, at what level do you think that we're actually secure and definitely going to win? Is it 3 or 4? That's the issue. How many goals do we need to be ahead before we think, right, I'm confident enough here? So I'm not sure. Weymouth is Weymouth is Weymouth, right? Those things happen. It wasn't like our like brilliant, you know, we're not going to go look at that and go, it's fantastic. But on the positive side, for a club to be successful financially, what you want to do is in the FA Cup, draw every single first game and win the replay. That's the way you make financial stuff. So big on us. And there is, of course, a small possibility it might get chosen for TV. I don't know whether that's been decided yet or not. So think of it. We could get a load of extra money, which could afford us to buy the extra centre-back or, you know, get extra wages for a centre-back or whatever that would really help us. So on the Weymouth, quality result. Could lead to loads of extra money, better players. All those people dissing it didn't walk out of the game thinking, this is going to be the making of our season, a draw away at Weymouth because of the extra revenue it provides. People are just so small, so short-term. You know, don't think about the reality of it all.
Or you're just trying desperately to cling onto some type of piece of cardboard as thinking to rock.
But it's true. I mean, on the downside, it does mean that there's a possibility that Martin Drake turns up at football with a cardboard cutout FA Cup covered in tinfoil, which he's had for years. That's the downside of it. But on the plus side, financial boom. Obviously, this is the way forward. Every cup game, draw it, win the replay. That's the way forward.
Get a home draw in the second round, which we have if we get through.
See, these are the things. It's just really, you know, genius. Johnny Jackson, football genius, clearly.
Except we failed to beat Weymouth, who have won one game all season.
Mark, you've missed the point. You've totally missed the point. It's not about winning a game or a decent performance. against a team that is completely rubbish. That's not the point. We had to work really hard to make sure we conceded a goal and then be very clever not to concede a second one, because going out would have been bad. But like drawing, perfect result. Genius.
This is the type of random humour that only English people get. Adam was sending us more and more exasperated messages during the game because you were watching it, right?
When I was listening to it on Radio Solent, which I haven't listened to football on the radio for a long time. I remember why, because I get even more excited because they're very good at commentating on the game, the BBC. I get very excited. But my word, yeah, it was... I honestly thought we were going to win like 3-0. That's what I thought. I thought, oh, we'd be good. You know, we've got our form is sort of turning around. The squad looked like a good squad to me. And I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened. It just sounded like it was one-way traffic. The second half, I just thought we're going to get absolutely spanked here. You know, it was just madness. I don't understand. I don't know what happened because it didn't make any sense to me. I know some people were saying, why didn't Huddling come in? Because he's like 12 feet tall and the goalie's 2 foot tall and whatever. I don't know. It was a bit weird. I mean, I think in terms of revenue, great. If we can make enough money, if the replay does make us more money in lots of ways, brilliant. I mean, I don't know how many seats you'd have to sell out, you know, in terms of that for the stadium to be viable, you know, profit-wise. Will it get that many on a replay on a Tuesday night? I was thinking of going, but I'm not going to now. Could it be on TV? I mean, based on what I could hear from Radio Solent, it should have been on TV anyway. That sounded like an FA Cup game, you know, and so... You know, Weymouth having a terrible season. We talked about it being a banana skin game. They obviously came out with the, you know, guns blazing. You know, and I watched the I watched that Don's vlog YouTube channel that I've recently found, which is just great because the guy's just videoing the whole match and from wherever he stands. When I watch it, I'm like thinking, how is he doing that? Because it would stop me from being able to watch the game by holding up the camera. But anyway, maybe he's got it on a little tripod. But that's really good because you get to see a load of stuff that you don't see on the highlights, obviously. And my word, they just seem to be going for it, you know. And then obviously that was a goal. The goal was because we didn't have the draft excluder deployed, which is just ridiculous. I hate the draft excluder. And then I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's why they do it.
Was it a Kevin Cooper goal then? Like all those goals in the CCL where he would just shoot the ball under the ball or the wall always jump and he'd score time and time and time and time again. But that's CCL standard. I mean, I know that we're not playing well, but we're not that bad, are we?
I know. It was a bit weird. The jump, I don't know. Everyone jumped when the ball wasn't going up. I mean, I don't know. I suppose do you automatically jump in a wall? I'm not sure whether you should. I don't know what the favoured thing is. But I also think the draft excluder is laughable at the high level because I've never seen it work. And then I'm like, oh, that's when it should work. Anyway, never mind. Oh, I don't know.
Extra revenue, guys. Extra revenue. Back into bed. Why don't you get back into bed?
Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. 1, 2, 3. Well, yeah, but how much? I mean, presumably, even if we wanted to reduce ticket prices, we would have to agree with that as well.
I'm going to go, so that's extra revenue. I'll probably buy a pie. There you go. That's extra revenue.
No, I'll keep your finances, so it's a woman's profit.
And it's a Tuesday night, and my daughter likes going to football on a Tuesday night. See all the bonuses. That's me.
Yeah, but we have got a game tomorrow night on a Tuesday night, and there's like 8,000 people going then.
Yeah, I know. Admittedly, there might be a few more tomorrow night, whenever you're listening to this pod. Then
yeah, if it wasn't Tuesdays back to back, I'd go to the FA Cup. But just because it's two Tuesdays back to back, I can't rearrange my week to make that happen. And it's quite, and I've got like a big Wednesday checking out another campus, so I don't want to be coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever time the train gets me back.
See, what you want to do, Adam, I'm smoozing in Parliament on Tuesday. I'm allowed to do all this sort of stuff, just egotistic, boosting my ego. Nobody cares
about
me.
You surely not.
Me, yeah. So I'm in Parliament for fair game work on Tuesday.
What random situation is it that every time we have an FA Cup game, there's someone on the bench that no one's ever heard of? So for the last game,
well, it was either
senior.
I was going to say it's either some random bloke or it's me. And that's the choice Johnny Jackson has to make. And I have to say that, frankly, I know my footballing abilities. And unless we want a slow person who's lumbering, kicking people, that, you know, I'm probably not the the appropriate choice to have on the bench. So I realised that. I said to Johnny, listen, mate, I reckon probably not wise having me on the bench. You're much better having some other random person nobody's heard of, because some of the fans have heard of me, and I don't think I'd have the right reputation, and people would probably think, you know, whatever, he's a bit like, you know.
You see, you Adam, didn't have the delight of playing five-a-side against Niall on his stag do, which I did. And frankly, even though I'm older than he is, I managed to hold my own. So, yeah, that's not a good idea to get Niall Cooper anywhere near the football arrangements, playing or being involved with or otherwise. But no, Josh Lallan apparently was named on a bench. Does anyone know who he is, where he is? The fact that even Wikipedia doesn't know who he is either?
He's the new Messi. That's the reality. He's the new Lionel Messi. He is Wimbledon's new hope. You watch. End of the season, we'll be struggling with all those bids coming in, offering 50 million for him. And, you know, obviously, as either of you two could well be on the board, it'll be a hard decision. Obviously, you're not involved in football decisions, but you'll be going, right, is this going against that kind of academy investment of that, blocking a player for 50 million? Because at that point, you'll have to think about whether you spend it on a new stands, or whether you kind of actually try and buy Messi himself. And that's the issue, Mark. Those are the big problems that the DTV...
Big problems,
are going to have to face.
I was just going to go to a much more rudimentary issue, which is Huddon wasn't even named in the squad. Is that because Huddersfield won't let him play? If so, why don't we just say so? Is that too complicated?
Now, this is actually a pretty more serious one. I'm not 100% sure. I believe that it's quite routine for a player on loan to be excluded from cup games anyway, as like kind of what you'd expect, whether they're going to make it or not, because Huddersfield wouldn't know whether they suddenly had a calamity, a load of injuries, and therefore wanted Huddling in or as an option. So again, that for me is quite routine, from what I understand about how loans work anyway. So I was totally not surprised to that Huddling was missing. That was my own personal view. I mean, you remember that this is like a player that Huddersfield have got a lot of hope in. I mean, he's not really shown it for us, but you know.
I mean, I think the issue that Mark's alluding to is the fact that there has been a number of people who were upset that he wasn't included in the squad because they felt that he was clearly that mismatch between the goalie. And so they're using that as a leverage to have a go at JJ, right? So would it be prudent? Is it possible? Should the club think about making it clear just because of that backlash? Or should the club be bothering to continue? You know, should they go out of their way to combat every kind of backlash? I guess at this point, because of the issues around... people are not happy with the way that the club is performing on the pitch, and they're leveraging that against JJ, that maybe the club do need to protect him a little bit in some of those decision-making things. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they can and shouldn't do, but it makes a bit of sense. They should say something.
What a lot of people forget, again, and I think it's really important to remember, is that the amount of staff at Ayrton isn't that big. Well, there aren't that many people. People often talk about professionalising the backroom staff or whatever. The more you professionalise, the more you take money effectively away from the playing budget. So you have this very careful way of balancing it. Personally, I'd love to see much more, you know, higher staffing level, higher pay for the backroom staff, all the rest of it. I mean, that would be fantastic. The consequence of that is it comes from somewhere else. So when people talk about what they want out of the club, what they want, I mean, messages come out of the club, there's only a limited amount of people that can do all of this. And if you take a couple of people who are off ill or off sick, then actually our resources to deal with that suddenly dramatically falls. There isn't a person to step in. We are a League Two club. We don't have endless resources. So I'm aware there's a whole range of media activity that was supposed to happen over the last week that hasn't happened simply because of illnesses and people being off or not being able to do stuff or being pulled left, right and centre. So stuff just hasn't happened because we're a small club. So there's loads of things that I know were planned that just didn't make the light of day. So it's quite possible that some of the stuff, I mean, I do think you're right. I think we should do a bit of protection of JJ, but remember, people are human. And I don't think for a second that it was deliberate or they haven't done it for any reason. I think it's just purely, we haven't got the staff to do everything that we'd like to do. That's it. You know, I've been jesting about, oh, I'd love us to buy Messi and all the rest of it. You know, right, of course, there are loads of things we'd love to do, but we can't do them all. There's a bit of realism, a bit of realistic pill that we need to take him. And again, I'm going to shut up because Mark's had his finger up in the air. See it on the pod because it's audio, right? But Mark's had his finger up in the air for a long time. And I wonder if I just talk for a bit longer, it might really annoy him. But I'll stop. Go on, Mark.
All of those things are perfectly valid in general. But we did have a post-match interview with JJ after the game. And then this morning, or this afternoon at some point, there were photos on Twitter of the players training, which includes huddling. So I'm afraid that all that does is make the club look idiots, in my simple personal opinion, because that indicates he's clearly not injured, and therefore he clearly potentially could have played. Was he left out when he's been playing other games and he made a difference to the last game? That wouldn't make sense either. So a simple explanation at the end of the game, he wasn't available because Huddersfield wouldn't let him be. That, to me, that doesn't need resources. That's just one simple question. And if I'm whoever's been doing that interview, I'm thinking of questions I would ask, which is how did the game go and so on and so forth, and what players were available? Would they have made a difference if they'd been available? Would they be available for a replay, et cetera, et cetera? And that wasn't asked. I'm not a journalist, but that seems obvious to me.
I'm going to be naughty, though, and say, well, yeah, but it wouldn't have made any difference anyway because the ball needed to be on the other end of the pitch for Huddling to be involved, from what I could tell on the radio. But the other thing I did see, though, but I don't know if it's on YouTube, but I need to check, was that we've got, obviously, the same old Wombles Twitter thing, I've installed Twitter, and occasionally it pops up and annoys me. I'm going to uninstall it again as soon as possible. But anyway, I did notice on the AFC Wimbledon Twitter account, because obviously what we follow that on our podcast account, they had a match day cam, and that was pretty cool. I don't know if it's on the YouTube, but it was like match day cam of at Weymouth, and I was like, oh, I like that. So again, hats off to the comms and media people for doing all those extra things, because I think it is getting really engaging. But yeah, I totally take Niall's point that we can't have endless resources in inappropriate areas. We want to make sure that most of our resources focused on the first team where appropriate. So yeah. Anyway,
just go back to what Mark said. Right, he's also right in the sense that, like, it is journalism 101, right? So that's fine. But again, you know, people fail their first year exams sometimes. You know, you might do a whole load of things and you just have a bad day. I don't actually think that, knowing the guys who would do it, that they would have not normally asked that question. They'd ask the question 99 times out of 100, and I just think there would have just been a slip. It would have been like, you know, Adam just mentioned a whole load of things that they're doing that are really good. And I think you have to kind of praise the guys for doing what they do well, you know, which is the new alternative angle, is some of the kind of better interviews you're seeing at the ground. It's some of the more quality videos. It's some of the innovative thinking they're doing, which is really great. And they forgot to ask, why is Huddling not in the pitch? Which is, like, for most of us, obvious question, but, you know, they've messed up. And hands up, they didn't do what they should have done on that particular bit. That's right. But they are doing loads of other stuff, and they are only human. And the more you bash people, the more they feel like, why the hell do I go into the office and do my job?
Yeah, I'm not trying to kick a person while they're down, certainly, in that regard. That was just a random thing that occurred to me.
If you want to kick Chris Wade down, Chris Thorpe, then you could just say, right, Chris, since you've taken over the job, what's happened to AFC Wimbledon's form? That's my normal joke with him.
We can't lay at Chris's door.
So yeah, that's the sort of thing you could. Chris has that guilt trip running through him. So if you want to really annoy poor Chris Thorpe, then you can go slow. Like, so Chris, since we've taken over, what's happened? Like, we were like not really under massive relegation threat when Chris got the job. And then it's like, you know, just completely over, you know.
Oh, I was just gonna tie off the talk about the Weymouth game with I was watching Match of the Day with my daughter, and she said something like, over the last 2 years, I can't remember. To answer Niall's point earlier on about how many goals we have to be ahead before we feel comfortable. She said, I can't remember ever watching AFC Wimbledon take the lead and feeling confident that they're actually going to stay in the lead in any game ever. And, you know, she's almost 16, but it out of the mouths of babes, as they say.
This is why those of us with CCL experience can at least remember that.
Oh, for sure.
That was the other way around. It'd be like, we're 2-0 down, 10 minutes to go. Yeah, what's the problem? We'd win 3-2. I certainly remember those games. Many, many, many of them.
5-3, Chessington Hook. White kit in the mud.
I'm thinking the Merston one where it was 2-0 down and then Sheeran, I think, scored a couple in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Those are good games.
So now we have a wonderful opportunity to stretch our particularly strong squad by having an extra Tuesday game. So in the next 3 weeks, I think, we've got Orient, then Tranmere, then the replay, obviously Weymouth, more away trips. Yeah, it's quite a few long trips to far-flung bits of northwest England. And at some point, hopefully within that, you'll have someone like NYC coming on board. But who knows, we may well end up seeing people like Aaron Sasu, the young under-18 striker who featured last week in the Portsmouth Pizza Trophy game. Probably Kweke Frimpong as well. You know, they're going to have to be added to the squad. Fisher's back as well, who I believe is actually a winger, not a striker. So that might give us some more pace on the wings, which is a start.
I thought the squad at the Pompey game was fantastic, actually. I wasn't going to watch it, and I did. I thought they were really good, really good. So, yeah, I kind of wanted to make a note of that squad and see how those players sort of pan out, because they really did play with some gusto, I thought.
I mean, that average age was 21. You know, you do get, when you look at the kind of the conveyor belt of young talent we've got, which is actually quite good. So I think that's promising. It would just be nice if we could have a couple of years where they were just able to properly bed in, and we weren't in that situation of kind of looking at this and kind of going, well, who's the next one that's going? You know, we kind of could do with a bunch of them just staying for 2-3 years, if not more. And then, because I think the talent's there, and then getting a couple of those proper experienced heads that can actually know how to be professional. Like we've all been talking about, the fact that, last season, if you took out the last 10 minutes of the game, you would have had an extra, I think it would say, it got to something like 37 points. You know, so that's actually taking a club that gets relegated to the club that's on the edge of the playoffs, if not in the playoffs. Because we're that last 10 minutes. So, you know, that's the issue. And that for me has always been a mental issue. Still a hangover now, because I think there's too many players that are still around the club. There's still, and they'll know that the fans are all fearing that last 10. Because like we all say, right, the ability of us actually, you know, not conceding then, that's the worst bit of every game at the moment. My favourite bit's still half time with the Pies, but like, you know. I don't. Everyone knows it's pizza, not a pie. Anyway. But you know that's the bit. I think you know. It's
but there is a big hangover certainly in the crowd. But again, you know, I want to give a big shout out. There's a website that I get links to every week, which shows the number of away fans that go to different games, and there were over 600 or so going down to Weymouth on a day when there's a train strike in the pouring rain in the early November. I mean, it's just outstanding. And unfortunately, a lot of those people, again, are people who've been around the country the whole time. So they've seen all those poor performances and that crazy long run that we talked about before, which means that, again, the fans will, if they feel that what's been dished up to them is substandard, they'll express their dissatisfaction, which comes back to what Adam was talking about relating to, you know, the general lack of goodwill towards Jackson, obviously as the manager whose name is above the door, as they say. And now we have Orient tomorrow night, who are just about, or tonight, depending on when you listen to this, as we said, just about top of the table, just about the form team in the league. Are we holding out any particular hope for anything other than the 3-0 thrashing?
Mark, what do you think I'll be looking forward to tomorrow night?
I'm my pie, presumably.
That's it.
But just my pie, yeah?
My pie. Though, somebody walked past me the other day with a jerk chicken, and that looked really tasty as well, and I've not tried that yet. So that might happen. I do think that the duck wrap, it does leak too much. Otherwise, that would be my favourite bit. And then, obviously, Doshak quality, really.
This is such a middle-class conversation. The duck wrap leaks too much.
Then I'd be saying, the problem is, where's the hummus at? You know, at the moment, I quite like hummus at the moment. And I can see Adam's agreeing. Hummus and a nice, can you imagine hummus and a nice warm pit of bread and maybe some falafel? That'd be all right. Now that Mark, that's a middle-class conversation.
Surely, Adam, you can seek out someone from Tooting Market to come down and bring a stall to the ground. Vegetarian, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm just mainly thinking Noah's going to try and eat like everything in one match. That's what I'm slightly worried about.
That is a really good challenge. I like that. I have to say, I'm still disappointed that I don't think we could do with a curry, a proper curry stall. That's what I think's missing. Do you know what I mean? Nice, proper, that's particularly in the warm nights, that's where we're at. Mark, I'll talk about later on if you want. Yeah, I have no hope, but I know my daughter Amelia is coming along to the game tomorrow night with a couple of her friends. So they generally have seen us never win a game. I don't think they've ever seen this draw a game either. They've just have an appalling record. But they seem to like it, and they talk and they gossip and they go take pictures next to stuff. And they haven't yet tried to buy any alcoholic drinks, even though they're all 16. So that's a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to look at Pell and Woodyard having their best game of the season to protect what is a very flaky back four. If they can do that, then there is a potential hope, because I think our forward line in Davidson and LaSalle are capable of scoring against anyone. That's where I think they're at. So if we can get, if we can be really robust and solid in the centre of the park, and I think we probably could do with packing the midfield a little bit more, as in actually not necessarily playing too much with wings and just go with it long, because we seem to have scored a couple of goals with the long ball at the moment. That might be the best way to deal with Orient. I'm not massively full of hope. We just need to tighten up that defence a bit more. I don't mind Tyler, largely because he's got the most ridiculous Bristolian accent I've mentioned. And I do quite a lot of meetings with Bristol City, because their club are doing, well, it's fair game stuff, but it means I speak to their chief exec and their fans a lot. And they've got a lot. They quite like Tyler. And they keep on telling me to make sure we look after him and all the rest of it. So, I think he's not a bad addition, but I'm just still, it's like classic Wimbledon syndrome, isn't it? Where you kind of go, you start worrying every time a ball comes towards our back four at the moment. Until we get that. And that's where I think the level of confidence really probably affects the players, because all of us in the crowd think the same. We're going like, just don't cross it in, because God knows what has happened. Nobody's really going to head it out clear. Don't get in behind our fullbacks because, they're not really doing. There's a whole load of things, just like instant panic. And that instant panic within the crowd is going to affect the reach of the players. And it's just obvious. I'm not saying the crowd can suddenly stop that, because, geez, I'm part of that crowd who feels the same nervousness. But until we get that, then we're going to struggle. And I think it could, sadly, take a good 20 games before we kind of get to a position where we've got enough run of form back in together to kind of stop us being completely panicking about our defence.
I think the crowd, frankly, actually deserve some major applause, because the response that they gave during the Harrogate game, which wasn't a particularly great performance, but obviously ended up particularly nicely and particularly amazingly, was huge. And they've been clinging on to any kind of particular success. Obviously, we sit down that end towards Move the Stand, and the vibe that comes off there, and the desire from that bit of the stand, that bit of the crowd, to be able to push the team forward is huge. So fingers crossed. With Orient, you'd imagine bringing a load of people down, even from a midweek game. That will obviously push the numbers up on the crowd, and which is good financially, but also more importantly, if that gives us a bit of an atmosphere from both ends, then so much the better. So much the better. But I don't suppose we're necessarily holding out on the pitch huge amounts of hope for much positiveness, unless we surprise ourselves and actually keep a clean sheet, whatever that may be. We can remember
I don't know what clean sheets mean. What does a clean sheet mean? I have no idea. I could mention confidence goalkeeper. I haven't mentioned that yet.
Can't believe you got this far without mentioning it.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I had to. You fed me the line. I added it in.
Moving along, because when we recorded last week's pod, the names had only just about come out. So I thought it's fair enough. Obviously, there's only myself and Adam and Niall on this week, but it's fair enough. Obviously, there's been a lot of activity online on Pro Boards. If anyone's not on Pro Boards and is a Dontrust board member, then get yourself on there, because there's been a lot of activity, a lot of questions posed to the different candidates who are standing for the Dontrust board. And I thought it was only fair to be able to give each of them a quick name check in no particular order. I think this is the order they were read out and chosen by the independent electoral officer. You've got James McDonald, you've got Daniel Allwright, you've got Richard Shepherd, you've got Joshua Perrin, you've got Julian Earhart, you've got Mike Hasty, you've got Colin Shergold, Chris Phillips, Kevin Rye, Graham Price, Matt Lowndes, Adam Proctor, and some bloke called Mark Lewis. Not in that particular order. I just left the two of us to last. And my apologies to any of those candidates if I pronounced anyone's name incorrectly. But there is a facility on the Dontrust board, online, Pro Boards, as it's called, dontrust.boards.net, to be able to ask a question to any particular individual candidate about what they think. And there's been some very sensible questions on there, some very well phrased questions on there. Everybody's playing nicely as far as I can see so far, but they are being, the questions are going to the nub of where we're at as an election. So we thought what might be good tonight, because we have one existing board member and two members on the board, is to get young Mr. Niall Cooper to give us a quick rundown of life on the board. Not how relaxed he's now feeling because he's standing down, but life on the board and what any of those 13 candidates I've just named could, what awaits them if they're fortunate enough to be elected.
Thanks, Mark. So I think the big thing is a steep learning curve when you first start. And this is one of the things going back about whether you should have 2-year or 3-year terms. You'll get an induction. So you get a big induction of a whole load of things. Which is worthwhile taking, and you have to really take on board. I think it's also to be prepared that some of the stuff you won't necessarily get told, because there's a lot, so you do have to do quite a bit of reading about all that sort of elements. I think also it's really, I would encourage people to realise you're going to lose a couple of evenings, you're going to be asked a whole load of stuff, but if you can focus on areas that you're actually a speciality, but what you can actually add to the board. I think that's really important. For me, I got involved very early on with the strategic review, which then led to the strategy document that came out in the start of 2021. We did quite a lot of stuff working on volunteers, but it was an area that I kind of was really keen to work on. Also, it led to the creation of Fair Game. That all came out of Dontrust board stuff, about what we're trying to do, all fits in with our criteria. So you spend a lot of time really working hard, and I think if you can get other people to help and support you, that's the key. You'll join a WhatsApp group. The WhatsApp group's really busy, where we'll address and look at a whole range of issues all the time. We try and look at how we can resolve things. It's going to be quite interesting. We have a Dontrust comms group that looks at all the kind of issues that are arising. So we try and deal with things as fast as we can. The trouble with it is there is a lot of bureaucracy in terms of what we can clear and what we can't clear. So what the Dontrust can say that isn't club issues versus what the Dontrust can say that isn't, we try to separate the two. So though you get a lot of traction, a lot of stuff going on. In terms of your actual meetings, you have the one long Dontrust board meeting for which Chris is lambasting me for saying they will last 5 hours, when actually the average is apparently 3 hours and 53 minutes. So apologies for getting that slightly wrong, but it gives you a sense of how long those meetings go on for. And that's the Dontrust board meeting. Then you have people who could then go to the PLC meeting, which is the next day, which can last again similar sort of length of time, if not longer. For those who are, you know, football fans, the PLC meeting is probably slightly more interesting because you get all the football updates in that meeting. So you'll get like your injuries, your loans, your kind of some of the financial stuff that the PLC are reporting back on. The DT board meeting is more like about how we reach out to communities, how we deal with the kind of bigger political issues, the more strategic stuff is all on that. And then I don't sit on the PLC, so I trust the people who sit on the PLC to deliver the verdict of the Don's Trust Board. So those are the two big meetings. Then you have your working group meetings as well. And between all of that, in my case, I try and write the Don's or coordinate the Don's Trust page in the programme. You know, and I do with Fair Game shed loads of stuff. So I probably spend, but then this, because I'm a mad person, I probably spend 15 to 20 hours a week on Fair Game stuff, which includes contacting loads of other clubs, trying to grow it. And that's really important because that's about the financial flow of football, you know, which is seriously unfair against clubs at the lower end of the pyramid. So what I'm working for is something that, if successful, will generate potentially a couple of million a year extra for AFC Wimbledon and clubs at our level, as well as creating proper governance structures to make sure you don't get rogue owners and you don't get clubs spending more than they earn, and potentially risking it, which is what happened to us originally. So all of that, you try and get rid of all of that. That's me because of my passion. So I think if you come into the board, then you have to be wary. There's a lot to do, but you should really focus on the areas that you're passionate about and try and deliver on those and get other people around you to help. So the more you can get help, the more you can do it. And also remember that being on the board, you get, like I did, absolute shit from loads of places all the time. And everybody on the board does get out to some level. Some people on the board don't get very much, I always get loads. And you have to look after the other board members, you know. So the best support I've had is from other people on the board who have offered that. So I think that's also a fundamental part, if you get onto the board, to say, right, look after your fellow board members. If you start arguing amongst yourselves, you just, you know, that's not going to help. You get enough slack as it is. So you need people to look after you and be there for each other and support each other. You're not going to agree with everything they all say. I certainly don't agree with everything everybody on the board says. But I'm aware when I see them getting flack that I don't think that's fair, because I know the amount of time and effort they put in. So that's quite a lot. I've kind of said a whole load of stuff there about what you can expect. You know, you do get to know the staff a lot better. You get to realise how much effort the staff put in and the flack they also get for everything they do. So I think we need to get to a place of being a much kinder club. And I think that I've seen amongst the board at the moment, I know a load of us have gone, but I'd say we probably are quite tight amongst each other. I didn't know, I knew one or two from before, but not a whole bunch. But I'd happily walk up to all of them now because I know how much work and effort they put in. Don't agree with them all, but you know, they're there for the benefit of all of us, really.
So Adam, has he put you off yet? has the process put you off? Obviously, you've been engaging quite a lot on pro boards. I've seen some sensible answers on there. So yeah, how's it going for you so far in the election process?
No, it hasn't put me off yet, which is good. You know, it's going well, actually. I just, you know, I have upped my level of engagement this time round, because I felt that I didn't engage enough. So I've been really trying to set aside a bit of time just to keep on top of those things. And I think, yeah, I think it's such an interesting point where there's lots of new things happening. We've got these new groups. There's lots of things that could really kind of push the club forward. So it's quite exciting, I think. And, you know, and also I think from all the conversations I've seen on pro boards, they're really good. You know, everyone is saying stuff and is opening up what they're talking about. So, I mean, like you said earlier, Mark, if people aren't on pro boards who are Don's Trust members, they definitely should get on there, because even if you're not asking any questions, I think reading the responses from everyone is helping me to think about who else I would want to have, you know, alongside me if I was potentially to get on as a new member. So yeah, I mean, I think the onboardings, you know, and the induction stuff, I asked a little bit about that today at the previous Don's Trust meeting, and you know, I do worry that we're losing a lot of really good people, and there's going to be a bit of a knowledge gap, and we've got such a moving sort of beast at the moment in terms of the new structure and all that stuff. That's the only thing I suppose I need to get my head around. And I'm not a big fan of, I struggle to read all the documentation, you know, and so I'm like thinking, oh my word, okay, I've been on inductions before, and if they involve lots of reading documentation, I hope I understand what I'm reading. I might have to get a might have to buy a brand new highlighter if I was successful to make sure I know what I've understood from the induction pack. But yeah, no, it's all good. I mean, Mark, what about you? Obviously, you're on the pro boards as well, doing your thing. Again, I've seen you answering some great questions. I think we've both been trying to be as active as possible. What are you thinking so far?
For me, and obviously Niall's already talked about how much commitment he's made, he's given and continues to give, obviously, in the time that he's going to serve. For me, it's a sort of small snapshot of the type of commitment people need to necessarily give. I mean, I work a hybrid situation, so I'm in the office a couple of days a week and I'm working from home. And obviously when you're working from home, you can dip in and out of different things and use different channels with phone and WhatsApp and so on, rather than working full-time or rather than doing Donald Trust board stuff full-time. I think it's vital for everybody, whether or not anyone knows who you are or they don't know who you are, to give as much opportunity as possible to be able to put your name forward, put your views forward. I mean, I know some of the individuals, but I wouldn't necessarily know that, say that I would have known their particular ideas about certain views, certain ideas. I mean, I think some of the topics that have been raised are particularly sensible. And what's even more fascinating about pro boards is you can see how many replies there have been to each question. And just to give you the titles rather than anything else, the titles of time commitment, even ownership vote and biggest priority to be addressed by the club, they're the three that have had the most views, with the latter one obviously having the most views, over 500 views, which is almost twice as many as everything else. And there's about 15 different points that different people have raised. But I think part of, for me, and I've mentioned it in a couple of answers, and a couple of people have reached out to me via Facebook as well and asked me some questions, which I'm happy to engage and answer with. For me, as much of this particular role as a candidate, let alone actually if I'm lucky enough to be elected, is about listening to other people's views that I don't agree with. Because inevitably, when you're on a board or in a group, whether it's a work group or any other board like that, I definitely believe in the concept of collective responsibility, which is to say you discuss things as a group and then you agree on whatever the topic may be. And then you don't have to go out and you know, spread that word to the masses. But at least if people are actually talking about a particular thing and you've been involved and you've been in the room when the discussion happens, then you have an informed view about why something has occurred. And you've been able to express your particular opinion, and hopefully the other people in the group have actually listened to what's going on. So I'm listening and observing what people have said and how they're saying it. I'm very straightforward and black and white, so I'm not disingenuous in terms of writing stuff to try and trip people up. I think maybe one or two questions that have been placed are trying to do that, but that's up to that individual. That's no skin off my nose in that regard. But I think it's great. I don't know how much engagement there was with Pro Boards or any other system or any other similar online platform beforehand. Obviously, there have been hustings in the past, and I know there were some discussions about hustings. But from what I've gathered, neither of the other podcast guys are able to do stuff. So, Niall, are you able to give an update on what is the Donald Trust board have been trying to put together and the election steering group are actually happy with regards to any form of hustings?
Yeah, totally. I mean, obviously, you know, we've looked to step into the breach to try and give a voice to that. And one of the big things on that was taking soundings from the Donald Trust board and the ESG, the election steering group, a lot about how we do that. Now, absolutely naturally, considering who's on the Say My Wombles podcast normally, they, you know, nobody can probably endorse Say My Wombles hustings because, like, you've got a board member and two candidates on it. So what we've taken the really strong decision to do is to provide the logistics for it to happen, and to actually try and make sure as much as possible that the process is as fair and as transparent as it can be, and that all three of us are like, and in fact the other two members who are normally on the pod are as far removed from the process as possible. So you know, we've got Gary Jordan, who's been reaching out to the other candidates. We have got three different sessions that will be happening on Sunday, and that those sessions are going to be decided first on what time people can make, and then drawn for the rest of it independently by the chairs to look at who goes into what particular session. The chairs themselves will draw up the questions, and they are in the process of doing that now for Sunday. So those chairs will be looking at who does what. And in terms of the chairs, this is, I suppose, an announcement I can make. So the chairs that we've got are Anik Teasdale, who is the support liaison officer for the club. Hazel Potter, who's got a long history, was in Whistler and stuff like that way back in the day. We have Peter Leng, who is from Wish, but also perhaps more better known as a BBC Foreign Affairs correspondent. So really, really useful. Then we have Damien Woodward, who is obviously one of the creators of the Power Lane Bond. And it looks like we're going to have Joe Blair as well, who is obviously well known for those who have been in with Banter a long time. So, and we're looking for one other chair. So there'll be each session would have two chairs in it, and they will basically help there. And as a group of five, it will be six, they are drafting all the questions. There will be the same questions arched in every session. We'll look for four or five, and there might be some extra questions depending on time that are independent for each of those sessions, but largely it'll be that. The people will be able to debate each other through that sessions. We will try and make sure that everybody gets a fair share of time. And the last bit of each of those sessions will be a 2-minute bit where the candidate can do their own personal pitch. All of that will be run by the chairs on the day. My role is really like just I've been liaising with ESG, I've been liaising with DTV and stuff like that, just on ideas about what that format looks like, sitting with Gary Jordan. But I'm not involved in the questions. I'm not involved in who will be in what session or anything like that. So we're trying to keep it as independent as possible. Obviously, we can't get proper endorsement from DTV and ESG for the reasons I said at the start. But without any other official hustings going on, this was really, we felt it was really important that people had a chance to hear from everybody. At the moment, we're out of the 13 candidates, one can't make it, and we've had confirmation proof from 9 others at the moment. So we're waiting to hear from the other 3. But that's pretty good. So people have a good chance of hearing from it. And I hope that, the one person who can't changes their mind, and that the other 3 step forward and say, right, yeah, I'm up for it as well, because we're trying to make it as fair as possible. I mean, look, for all of those, I know I'm I'm nowhere near the questions, but I don't know what to ask the question. I'd love to ask the questions, but like, it would be really pointless me asking the questions. So I'm trying to keep away from all of that. So that's as fair as we can get, and as transparent as we can get. So that's the plan at the moment. The DTB are fully aware about it. It's now, we've decided as a DTB that we're not going to be discussing on the WhatsApp channel, but a couple of people from DTB saying, well, can you answer this or that or whatever, then we have done. Gary Jordan's answering loads of questions on that, and he's been really helpful. Those who don't know Gary Jordan's the one who edits the program, so he's the one who's been helping liaise with all of that side. So as I say, trying to keep it as fair as possible. It's going to be, you know, that people would have arguments about whether the 9 years hosted it, whether WHD, whether they hosted it. There are always going to be issues about people being not completely happy with the process. It's impossible to be perfect. We're just trying to be as good as and as fair as we can be. I don't have waffle on today, but that was right official, wasn't it? And for those of you still awake, can I recommend that I've got a really good recipe for apple crumble that I made earlier on and ate during the previous Don's Trust meeting.
Bring some to the game, the Orient game. Keeps it all awake.
There used to be the fat boys, right? You know that, didn't you? Fat Boys used to be able to do. I used to go around at half time and get an apple crumble and custard and eat it because it was brilliant as a takeaway. Quality.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. At half time, Niall would come back with apple crumble and custard. I was just like, how? What are you? What is going on here? You know, I don't even know how.
What an opportunity! I so miss Fat Boys. What an opportunity to miss that, isn't it? Why don't we have an apple crumble and custard? You know, that would be awesome. Or a pie and mash shop. You know, the old pie and mash shops. You know, pie and mash. My pie.
I think there should be a. I reckon there should be a new theme group that's called Niall's Food Requests. And obviously, Niall is in charge of that theme.
Thank you, Niall, for the information about the unofficial hustings. And I believe that information is also out on Pro Boards. In fact, no, I know it's out on Pro Boards because I saw some stuff earlier on.
Yeah, and I think the thing to say with that, Mark, is once we heard there wasn't an official hustings, the first thing that we all thought, you know, and we messaged each other on our chat, was maybe we can do it because we felt that it's really important that people get to speak about the manifestos. For, you know, and for me, a big reason for that is it's very, I'm doing my best on Pro Boards and I do have to do quite a bit of writing at work and all those kind of things. But I find text can be misunderstood, can be quite a hard communication tool. And when you can talk openly with others, then, you know, you can express yourself in different ways, as we know, of course. Right. And so we all felt that would be a real shame if that wasn't the ability. And so we just stepped in to say, look, we've run some Zoom things. We reckon we could probably do it, you know, and always knowing that people would say, well, it's going to be biased for various reasons. So we, again, at the beginning of all that, we were like, okay, how can we do this to make it a way that is not, you know, that we just want to be supportive, actually, and that we aren't coming at it from any angle, never have, with that understanding that we would need to step back and not be the hosts and whatever and that kind of stuff. And again, you know, thanks to everyone, we've sort of been pulling together different people who can really help make it happen. And like Niall says, I hope we can get everyone and those, you know, that they kind of feel that it's a platform that would be good and that we definitely aren't coming at it with any angle, never have, didn't, you know, but also understood people might think we have because as everyone knows, this podcast is biased. We are all pro fan ownership. We've made that very clear from the beginning, but that's, you know, it's going to be a special series of episodes. We just happen to be able to get it out there. We've got the infrastructure to make it happen, you know, because it does take a little bit of setting up to make a podcast available for people to hear. So yeah.
Of course, if anybody comes out with any pro Chelsea comments, then that'll be it. No, they'll just be kicked off. That's the
yeah. And we have also agreed that we're not going to edit at all.
Yeah,
like, so, you know, we are kind of going out on a bit of a limb there in that sense, hoping that everyone will be as sensible as possible and they won't be dropping the F-bomb or whatever the heck the people might want to do to mess things up. And of course we've got Gary to help us to make sure that we get, for the webinar, the right people are in the room so that we don't have any weirdness, all that kind of stuff, because obviously we need to make sure that it's done sensibly as well. And we also have experience of things not working so well with Zoom. So we know how to make sure they do work well now.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. That's been a relatively sedate because we are missing that madman, Mr. Matt Cooper, this evening. And relatively serene, even without the suave man that is Alex Folks pod for this evening. However, we'll just finish off with just one little quiz, which is actually a joint quiz that both of you can join in on. And it's a simple question, which you can just shout out different answers to. Just a little bit of perspective I was thinking about today with regards to where we are at in League Two and how we're doing in League Two and so on, and how that compares to some clubs of relatively recent stature. By recent stature, I mean relatively recently coming into the Football League. So you have 9 to choose from. The question is, who were the last 9 clubs to enter / re-enter the Football League?
Right. Grimsby.
Oh, Luton.
Grimsby aren't even on it, so make that 10. Yeah.
Harrogate.
Harrogate, yes, 2.
Sutton United.
Sutton United, 3.
Well, I've got 6 on my hand already.
No, I said Luton, so does that count?
Luton doesn't count. Sorry, who?
Grimsby.
Yeah, you got Grimsby. Grimsby, Harrogate, and Sutton.
Sutton.
Yeah.
Barnet.
Nope.
Barnet re-entered the league.
Yeah, that's still in the league, you Muppet.
Orient.
Nope.
Orient have been in and out. What's the question? The question
is, what's the question?
The last nine. Not who's done it ever, but the last nine. The last 10 years, basically.
What? Okay. Hang on. They're currently in League Two, yeah?
No, they can be wherever in the league, but they went out of the league and they came back into the league, or they were in non-league and they went into the Football League, and they're currently in the Football League.
I can't imagine any has gone from, other than us, I can't think of any that have gone from non-league to League One.
Oh man, it's like this. I should really know.
We've played all of these teams in the last 3 or 4 years. Some of them several times.
I mean, the thing is, Niall should definitely know all of this, right? I just had the fear of Mark building up to this question, knowing that basically I watch Wimbledon. That is it. Like, I don't know what's going on elsewhere. I don't. People at work say, oh, who are you playing? I'm like, another team? Like, I don't care. I just want us to play and win.
Yeah, I should know all of this.
You've got three. You've got Sutton, you've got Harrogate, and you've got Grimsby.
And what about Crawley? What happened? What were they doing?
Yes, Crawley has won. Well done.
Crawley.
And Newport? Then Newport must have done something.
Newport.
No, Newport was before that.
Are you looking at a thing now? You're cheating, aren't you?
I'm looking at the league tables just to have names in front of me.
Yeah, well, if you look at the League Two league table, you can guess a few from there. Yeah, sure.
I'll know it, but it's right.
Because I don't even know who's in our league.
Honestly.
That's not going to help. Look what I pulled up. That's really helpful, isn't it?
Well done.
Yellow and blue program from the 10th of February 2002. That's not going to help me, is it?
Right. Come on, I'll give you three more guesses.
I know. I'm trying to navigate the BBC app to get to League One.
No. I'm not giving up. I'll know it as soon as I find a table.
This makes great podcast material, boys.
Of course it does.
Have Rochdale been in and out of the league?
One's a really obvious one, which you will utterly kick yourself if you don't get.
What?
Forest Green, where have they
been? Forest Green, correct. Five.
Yes.
So I've only got League One.
Accrington? No, they've come back ages ago.
Remember, it does include people who came up from non-league that were in non-league and hadn't been in Football League before. Like Harrogate, for example.
I'll tell you, I'm going to get this nailed and it'll be like really, really interesting.
How much sound I'm going to have to edit out of this?
Barrow.
No.
Barrow?
Yeah, well, I'll give you Barrow.
Stockport. Salford.
Correct, Salford.
So Sutton, Stevenage have been up. Right, south.
What happened to Bolton? They didn't drop that far, did they?
No. How many are we at?
You've got another one, two, three.
We've got Crawley. Right,
Give us some other.
Crawley, Barrow, Grimsby, Harrogate. You're saying not Leighton Orient, but I think they have.
No. Stockport, not in this time scale.
Stockport, Salford, Stevenage, Sutton.
You've got already, yeah?
I mean, I've just named loads.
Yeah, but you've got three more that you haven't named.
We said Forest Green.
Forest Green, yes.
Jesus, right. Morecambe.
No, they never got relegated. Should have done, but they never did.
No, Morecambe never been relegated in their entire career.
Exactly.
History. Exeter City.
No. Right, I'm going to put you out of your misery. Burton Albion.
I said Burton.
2009-2010.
I said Burton.
Crawley Town.
Well, they count Crawley as a club.
We said Crawley, didn't we?
And who did Crawley Town get promoted with?
What?
Who did Crawley Town get promoted with?
Cheltenham.
I'm going to say us.
Yes, it's us, of course, you muppet.
No, I said Crawley, though. I thought I said Crawley.
Yeah, you did say Crawley.
But to be fair...
And who did we beat in the semi-final and then got promoted the year after?
Fleetwood,
correct. There's your list. Sutton 2021-22. Harrogate 2021. Salford 2019-20. Forest Green 17-18. Fleetwood 12-13, Wimbledon 11-12, Crawley 11-12, Stevenage 10-11, Burton 9-10. And Grimsby, that obviously just came up this last close of season. There you go. So about the last 5 minutes of the pod, we'll have to edit out. Good luck in the Don's Trust Board election campaign process. And I will see you all at Plough Lane. And then I'll see you at Plough Lane again if anyone's going down on Sunday. And by next week's, obviously, will be the unofficial hustings. So good luck with all that, Mr. Proctor, sir. This has been episode 12 of Same Old Wombles, and we'll see you same time next week. Good night.
Or good morning.